Well, my name is Chris Stallings, and we're in part four of our identity recovery series. We've looked in this series at some of the roller coasters of life, the ups and the downs, and the lies that we hear about our identity in those moments, the things that are kind of not good. We start believing those lies, and it begins to steal our joy and rob us of who God created us to be. And so we've set about to try to recover our identity from those lies so that we can live as God wants us to live. So we identified the lie, we renounced the lie, and we replace it with the truth of what God wants for you and me. Today, in part four, we renounce the lie, I am what people think of me. Depending on which school you go to, how many's got 1 week left? Y'all get out in a week? How many's got 2 weeks left? At least two, right? 2 weeks. Somebody, anybody got 3 weeks left? Good. 2 weeks and we're done. Well, if you approach the ending of school year, depending on your perspective, differently. Right? I mean, as a kid, a parent, a teacher, we all have different. The kids I've talked to, they're done, right? I mean, they came back from spring break and said, I can't do anymore. Like, the last 6 weeks, God help our teachers and maybe you parents, right? To survive that, I talked with one of our seniors last week. We were joking around. Y'all know this term, senioritis? You know that, where you just like, I'm going to mail it in. I don't care if I get a bad grade. I just show up late. Some of your teachers in the bunch, you're like, I talked to one of them. We jokingly said, yeah, they caught it middle of their junior year, right? I mean, it's like, it's hard to stay focused on that. So our kids, they've mailed it in. If you're a teacher, you've probably had like since day 179 counting down to, you know, day one and then you're done. And in parents, depending on where you're at, if your kids, you still try to have some influence, still have some control into their lives, you're just saying, how can I get them through the summer where they don't kill each other? You know, I mean, sorry, keep them busy, keep them safe to where it makes it through a good summer. And I don't know about for y'all, but, you know, there's all kinds of things with summer that come to mind. Yard work, all the things that go along with it. But there's one that all of you, and don't lie, are thinking about. Summertime, what does it mean? Vacation, related to that. I'm going to say it.
Easy day.
You said it, right? What do I look like in my swimsuit? Right? You're thinking about what am I going to look like whenever you get this pressure of, like, being at the, wherever it is, the pool party in the neighborhood, the go to Point Mallard, going to the beach, you're like, what am I going to look like? Because I care what people think about me. From a little kid, I mean, after you get a certain age, you start getting self-conscious. You're like, what do I care about? Now, some of y'all, I know you've been thinking about it. You don't say this, but some of you, I know, joined the gym the day after Thanksgiving and are getting ready for it, right? You're like, I want to look good. Some of you are like getting the swimsuit picked out, trying it on, like sending pictures to your friends. Say, does this make me look good? You know, and if you're daring, you send it to your spouse. Does this make me look? No, I'm not going to say it, right? But you know what I mean, right? So you're trying to figure out what do I look like because you care what people think until at some point in your life, and you may be there. I'm officially there past that, right? You start just saying, I want to just have fun or I'm going to avoid that circumstance. And you, if you're going to just go and have fun, you start buying these big old flowery shirts and just go and have fun or, you know, maybe a football jersey if that's your thing and just be like, you know what? I'm going to be there and play with my kids. And you stop worrying about it. We kind of get senioritis in that regard, right? We just quit worrying about that part of it. But so much of our lives, we spend worrying about, thinking about what other people think about us. Are they going to talk about the way I did? If I get up and do something in school, if I try out for the team and I don't make it, are people going to say things about me? And so we deal with that. There is a social anxiety that can be detrimental, that can be a problem in our lives. And so if that is the case for you, this may help a little bit, but I also want to encourage you, talk with me, I'll help you, or if there's others that I can refer you to work through the issues if there are real issues whenever you're like, I just can't be in that certain setting. If you were to have knee pain or knee issues, you go to the orthopedic surgeon. And if you've got issues with social anxiety, it's good to seek therapy or seek counseling or maybe be part of a group like our Celebrate Recovery group that can help with hurts, habits, and hang-ups. It's good to seek that treatment. So this is not to replace that if that's what you can benefit from. But especially in a spiritual sense, when we worry about what other people think about us, it can keep us from living into what God wants for our lives. If you have social anxiety, you may analyze the way you walk because you don't want to stand out in the crowd. You may analyze the way you speak because you don't want people to think you're weird. You may analyze every single social media post because you're afraid of what people are going to perceive it at. And so you're trying to get the right picture, the right pose, the right wording to make sure your presence in the community, you never want to look stupid. And in a spiritual sense, we can spend a lot of time worrying about what people that don't matter say about us instead of worrying about what God has said we are. Worrying about what God wants for us to do instead of worrying about the people that don't matter. How do we get over the lie? I am what people think. We're going to look at a passage from the book of Galatians today. I invite you to open your Bible. If you've got a Bible, I invite you to turn on your Bible. If you've got a smartphone, you can text the word B-I-B-L-E, Bible, to our number 513-7200. It should reply with a link. We can download or open the Bible app if you've got that. Galatians was in the New Testament, and it's written by the guy we know, the Apostle Paul, a guy that was against Christians and then got converted, and he became all in. He said, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And he began planting churches in Galatia, is a region that there were a number of churches. And so this is a letter that Paul wrote to those churches after he had moved on or went on to that. And he really is saying in this whole letter that he doesn't want the people in the church to let it become a competition amongst themselves, to be at each other, but to rather build each other up, not tear each other down, to support each other. He wants them to follow the example of Christ's teaching, to serve one another, to care for each other. So I'm going to start by reading our concluding passage from Ephesians just last week. Ephesians 2:10 will be on the screen, and then we'll go into Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. All right, these are words from last week. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Last week we dealt with the passage around we're more than what we do. We're not the lie that we are what we do. And today we're going to carry into that, into Galatians 6, verse 1. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back into the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Verse 4, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. And you won't need to compare yourself to anyone. You won't need to compare yourself to anyone, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. Verse 6, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those within the family of faith. Let me pray for our time together. God, I pray that you would give us reassurance in who we are in you, no matter what they think of us. God, let us rely on you and your church and your people around us to carry us on, to build us up. Give us knowledge of who we are in you today. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's jump in and look at some ways that this passage can apply to our lives today and our understanding of how we can to live beyond the lie of I am what other people think. Number one, healthy words rebuild, not destroy you or others. Healthy words rebuild, not destroy you or others. That first verse in the second verse read in partial, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back into the right path. So share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. If we walk this journey of life and we lock arms together with those that are fellow followers of Jesus, there are going to be times when we need to step in to help each other, both physically or in crisis. But there's times when we mess up and we need the loving intervention of others to help us get out of the quicksand or the mire that we're caught in. It's okay and it's good to be in a place where we can hear that from other people. But those are encouragement. Those are gentle. Those are humble words. Those are not manipulating. Those are not power grabbing. Those are not hateful words. There's a family systems theory by the guy's name is John Gottman. And it goes something like this. It says that if you measure in a relationship, in a family, in a couple, especially marriage dynamic, if you measure how many good words, some positive, encouraging, affirmation words they say to each other, and put a comparison of how many negative, tear down, hurtful things they say to each other, if you take the ratio of good to bad, and that ratio is at 20 good to 1 bad, so you say 20 good, 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 and then you say 1 bad or have to say something that's negative, that's a healthy, vital relationship. As that ratio goes of good to bad goes down, if it approaches 7 or even 5 good to 1 negative, it's a rocky relationship. There's trouble in the relationship. And if it's 1-1, it almost guarantees a divorce or a separation or a splitting up of the family. It's so accurate that you measure these things, 90% of relationships turn out this way. If there's 20-1 good to 1 negative, we build each other up. We support each other, and it can last. That can go for all of our relationships in our friend groups, in our church groups, in our families, to where when we need to correct somebody, we do that. But we already got some capital in the bank, some love, some trust, some care that people know our best interests are at heart. And so when we do that, when we say, hey, I've got something I want to talk with you about, it's from a relationship, a deep, deep, good relationship, so that you know that the person has your best. So apply that in your relationships. Love people, and when they mess up, gently and humbly bring them back to the right path. In church systems, we call that the Matthew 18 principle. There's a verse where Jesus is talking about in Matthew 18, 15. He says, if somebody has done you wrong, somebody has sinned against you, you go to that person one-on-one and tell them where they've hurt you so that they have a chance to recognize it. Sometimes we don't even know the sin that we've done to people. And give them a chance to apologize or make it right and to course correct. And then the Bible says, if not, then you can go to authority or men, maybe go to Facebook and post all the negative about them, but go to the person first and work it out so that you can give God's Spirit a chance to work in you and in them, to forgive them and for them to make it right and expect that of others. You do that whenever somebody's wronged you and expect people to come to you when they've wronged you. Don't, what, me? But listen to your brothers and your sisters, your friends, your family, your church members. Listen for them when they've said they've hurt or what you've said, so that you can make it right and be open to forgive. Healthy words rebuild, not destroy you or others. Number two, check yourself before you... No, that's a song, isn't it? Did y'all hear that? Some of y'all know that song, don't you? Oh, man. If you don't know that song, don't look it up. Check yourself to God's purpose, not what others think of you. Check yourself before... I can't get it past it, sorry. Check yourself to God's purpose, not what others think of you. Galatians 6, 4, pay careful attention to your own work. For then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need, hear these words, to compare yourself to anyone else. When you feel judged by others, when you feel like you've messed up, lean into the who you trust. Lean into the who you trust more than the words or the thoughts of other people. Don't get caught up in the clutter on social media or the, y'all in this group, what's happening in Harpsville? Y'all know that group? I'm going to gossip about the group here in a minute, but you know what I mean? Like, if you do something wrong, you're going to get it. Right? In that moment, if you can imagine, that's you in one of those, like everybody's posting like this person, but you know, if you're in one of those moments, lean into the who and not the who, right? Lean into the God that said these words in Ephesians 2:10, you are God's masterpiece. He has created you anew in Christ Jesus so that you can do the good things he's planned for you long ago. Because if you listen to all those noise, you know who's going to add on to that? The devil. The devil's going to jump in. The devil's going to pile on. He may be creating half of this stuff just to stir up your pot to try to bring you down. So hear the voice of this one, God, and not those voices that are tearing you down. And some of you may know that I call it a second career pastor. I wasn't always a pastor. Who is? Nobody's born a pastor. But I had a career before I became a pastor. I'm coming up on 10 years since I started preaching in 2009. I remember the first Sunday I preached, like coming out of a job in business, and I was like, sure, I'm trying to do God. And then you kind of, God just leads you into this stuff. I don't know how it happens, but the first Sunday, I was sitting like in one of these chairs on the first or second row. We were singing the last psalm before it's time to get up and preach. And it's great music and it's good. All of a sudden, I hear these thoughts in my mind and there's the devil. You know what you did? You remember that wrong thing you did? Remember how you messed up? God can't use you. I heard all that in my mind. The moment before I'm getting up to just do what I feel like God's inviting me to do, the devil uses that kind of, they're going to condemn you. They're not going to listen to you. They're not going to love you. And at that moment, I didn't know what to do. And all I remember is this passage of scripture where Jesus told Satan, he said, get behind me, Satan. And I don't even know what it applied to at the moment, but I just said, get behind me, Satan. And when the devil said, you can't do this or you've done this, I recall that Jesus says, it don't matter what he's done, I'm doing it for him. So whatever you've done or whatever they're saying you've done, even if you've done it, Jesus says, I'll take that because I still got you. I still got you. And so whenever you're in the midst of one of those battles, when you're in the midst of the devil or the lies or the people, what they're thinking, what they're saying about you, you don't look good in that swimsuit or more significant things. Remember who you are in God. Check yourself to God's purpose. Now, you need some people around you to help check yourself. in our strategy, we've got a strategy that we say we help people believe, belong, and become fully devoted followers of Jesus. Believe is when we worship, when we profess our faith, when we repent. It's what we do most of the time here on Sunday morning. Belong is where we gather in groups of 10 or 15 people, where we get to know each other, we grow closer to God and closer to each other, and we help each other on that journey so that whenever we do mess up, there's somebody saying, hey, I love you, brother. I love you, sister, but this is something that's going to wreck you. You need some people like that. I'm reading a book entitled The Class Meeting by Kevin Watson. He's a seminary professor. And he's writing about some of the things that are helping bring revitalization to churches. And this class meeting idea was foundational in the starting of the Methodist Church in the 1700s. It's not like a class like we think of at school, but in the 1700s, it was formed around people getting together and checking in on each other, being able to bear their souls. He writes, you need to make judgments about how things are going in your own life. Some weeks you'll judge that things are going quite well. Other weeks you'll judge that things aren't going very well. But the point of this meeting together with others is not the group's job to tell you about your relationship with God. Rather, you to give them accountability to say, here's how it's going. Have somebody to walk along with you. And so we need that kind of people in our life. And so I encourage you to be a part of a group like that, or groups that go on through the summer, but in the fall we'll have a big push to list all the different ways you can connect in a group like that. Someone will be brand new, someone will be existing, you can jump in, but different times of the week, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, maybe throughout the course of the week, where you can plug in and connect with people so that you can have some other people check yourself before you wreck yourself. To know God's will in your life. Not what random others, the what's happening in Hartsville others, the Facebook, the people that don't care if you live or die or go to heaven, but people who want the very best for you. And finally, don't give up on God's work in you and through you. Don't give up. Don't give up. People are going to say bad stuff about you. And if you take a step to take kingdom from the devil and towards God's kingdom, the devil is going to say bad stuff to you and through others to you. Don't give up. Verse 9 reads this way, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap or we'll receive or we'll get a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Don't give up in the good God has given you to do, no matter what they say. Don't go into spiritual isolation. So many times we hear the voices of what people are saying or wonder what they're thinking, and the devil uses that to say, see, you can't even go to church. They won't welcome you there. You are welcome here. No matter what is going on, if you're not here to harm you or harm other people, you're in a good space. You're welcome here. So don't go into isolation and don't give up, and especially moms. I don't know, is this a thing, mom shame, where you see the what other moms are doing, you're like, I don't even know, right? And can I say something, those ones that, and it feels like I'm getting all over social media, but man, if it was all good, it'd be all good, right? But it's not. And the ones that have the perfect post and the perfect wording, you know they've got like a public relations manager typing up their post and taking their picture. I don't know how they do it, but you know what I mean? They're spending hours maybe trying to figure out how to make that perception. And can I say, people mostly put the good stuff and not their struggles. So no, you're not in it alone. The struggles you're facing, don't go to those Facebooks and look. Don't give up. Stay after it. Even when it feels like your kids are taking three steps back for one forward, lean into the good God is giving you to do as a parent, as a teacher, as a worker, as a friend. Don't give up. For everyone, don't give up. Don't compare yourself to others. And don't let the enemy steal your joy by what you think or what they are thinking about you. Stay rooted in God. Don't give up on doing the good work God's doing in you and through you. Let's pray. Father God, I pray you give us just a blessing, an overwhelming blessing, a pouring out of your love and your presence into us. Encourage us when we hear those negative comments. Encourage us whenever they say, God, give us a clear voice that's from you. Say, get behind me, Satan. Let us affirm those words you've told us, that we are created anew in Christ. And God, if there's anything that's separating us from fully following Jesus, God, let us follow him today. Let us repent from our sin. Let us put our faith in the power of resurrection in Jesus. And let us live the life you've given to us, reclaiming our life from the lie, I am what they think. It's in Jesus' holy and powerful name I pray. Amen.